Hi, everyone. Thank you for listening into the second episode of the Pop Culture Grappler podcast. I have a special treat for you guys today. My very special guest is a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu purple belt under Professor Bruno Barbosa. She fights under the Monarchy MMA banner that's based in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you guys to welcome the super awesome Cassandra J. Poyong.
Welcome to Pop Culture
about that.
No problem.
All right, so we can start now. So it's 3, 2, 1. Okay, good evening to all our listeners here. I have a very special guest tonight for episode 2 for Pop Culture Grappler. She's a 21-time Copa de Malaysia champion, World Masters Abu Dhabi blue belt champion in 2019, and then she's just recently she competed in the IBJJF European Open this year at 2020 in January, and she's a silver medalist in the 2019 SEA Games. So I'd like to introduce everyone to Cassandra J. Poyong.
Hi, Cassandra. Nice to meet everyone.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So, how do we start this? Okay, Cassandra. Well, we actually met. During the SEA Games, right? But it was very brief. I actually wanted to talk to you during those times. But the thing was, I didn't want to basically disturb some of the athletes, because you know you want to make sure the guys are in the zone during tournament time. And
I remember that time.
Yeah,
because when I was there at in the SEA Games, I saw you a couple of times. You were working the scene, right? Then after that, I got to know that you are actually like the people in charge of the SEA Games. Like, everything needs to run smoothly, and you are one of the people who actually made that happen.
Yeah.
And then what happened was, somebody, I think, was it you, or eventually we got to talk for a bit, and then someone told me that you are a purple belt, right?
What
belt are you now?
Yeah, I'm actually still purple.
Okay.
Fourth stripe. Yeah, it's just
like,
yeah.
So when I was there, you were so like focused in the scene, and then you were just so humble, you know, like even when you talk to me, like every time you talk to me, you are so humble, and I'm just so amazed with that kind of humbleness and respect. And it opened my eyes into like the culture, the jiu-jitsu culture, like in the Philippines, you know, everyone is like so high level, but everyone is so down to earth at the same time. So to me, that was just, I love it, actually. I love the energy, I love the respect that like you give to all your jiu-jitsu brothers and sisters. Like, that moment really blew me away. Really?
Even
though we only had a brief conversation.
Thank you as well. But actually, it was actually surreal for me that, I mean, to be there, to be part of that big event as well. I'm not competing, or just basically trying to make sure that everything ran smoothly, that if there's anything that athletes needed, we were there, or if there's any concern, we'd address it during that time. My journey is
a little bit, how do I say it? It's actually the long game that I'm doing right now. Not unlike you. So, I mean, you've won a lot of tournaments, international exposure. I mean, you've done it to the highest level. I mean, some of us, we're actually mere mortals to what you've done. So that's actually super amazing and super awesome. So, to start with, let's start with your origin story and how you stumbled upon jiu-jitsu and how it, I mean, your career trajectory right now is actually, for me, it's like moving up the stratosphere with all the tournaments you've joined and mostly you've done mostly podium finishes. So if you can share us about that.
Okay, so for me, I started jiu-jitsu when I think I was 25 at the time. So I didn't really start young, but when I finished my degree, I went back to my hometown, which is Kota Kinabalu, Sabah. It's closer to Philippines there. Mm-hmm. Now I'm at West Malaysia, which is in KL. It's like the sea divides the East Malaysia and the West Malaysia. Mm-hmm. So when I went back to my hometown, I wanted to really do something for myself, you know, because at that time I was kind of like big, like overweight, not like too overweight, but still overweight. And I didn't do much exercises and things like that. So I told myself, since you have time, let's just go and see what you can do. And then I went window shopping one day with my brother and my dad. And then I saw this advertisement in like on the windshield of a shop, you know, and then it said like, want to learn martial arts to protect yourself? And then I was like, yeah, heck yeah. So I called the number, I booked an appointment, and then I went into this gym. The name is Kinabalu Fighters, and then I actually never stopped since. And at that time I was training under for a brief moment we had a female instructor teaching us, and then after that we had a guy instructor, which is my guy coach. His name is Richie. Mm-hmm. Richie Ismail. So he was still a blue belt. And then I learned under him. And then he went on to establish his own place, which is Valor Martial Arts. And then I moved along with him to his new establishment. And then I trained under him for about like a year. Mm-hmm. I trained 1 year of jiu-jitsu in Sabah. And then I needed to go back to KL to study again. Mm-hmm. So what happened was I moved to KL and I asked for his suggestion, where should I train? And then he said, go to Monarchy MMA because Monarchy has Professor Bruninho Barbosa. Mm-hmm. He's my professor now. So I went there, and then it was a really funny experience because when I went in, I trained under professor for I think one year plus more. Mm-hmm. And then he gave me my stripe because what he saw, what I took from KK was not what he wanted yet. You know, so he fixed my jiu-jitsu and everything, and then he gave me my stripe, and then it was awesome. And then I went for my first competition when I was a white belt. I got bronze during that time, but I fought someone from Singapore.
Wow.
Singapore, level is really high there. Yep. Because mm-hmm. for some reason they have the dedication. I don't know how they do it there, but I really love how they fight for everything, you know, right? So then what happened was, well, the origin from there. Then I went to train under Professor Bruninho, and then I really love the way he teach his students, the way he gives himself to his students, you know, the sacrifice that he's done for us. So, and then I decided to stay.
Okay. All
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And then, so you mentioned your first tournament that you joined. How did it feel for your first tournament?
Oh my gosh. The first tournament was actually, I did a talk about this. I gave a TED talk.
Mm-hmm.
Was it last month? Last month, I think. Mm-hmm. And then I actually talked about my first jiu-jitsu tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was, it was in the morning, right? So mm-hmm. women's fight was usually in the morning. It usually goes in the morning in Copa. So I went in, but I managed to cut the weight and everything. I was so nervous. But when my professor asked me if I wanted to compete or not, then I said, I don't know. I don't know yet. So I don't know. You think I can do it? I asked him. And then he said, go try. If you love it, then you can continue fighting from now on. But if you don't, at least you try once.
Wow.
So that's what I did. Yeah. So that's what I did. I said, okay. What, once you say okay to someone, right,
yeah.
you don't back out of it, you know? It's I never, you know? So what I did was I tried training. Just that time I was still studying, right? So I tried training as much as I can. That time it was like once a day, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
When you just started, it was mm-hmm. like, oh, how many times can I train in a week, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I can do 3 times a week. So that was like my thing, like training 3 times a week. And then afterwards, yeah. What I did was, okay, I thought 3 times a week would be enough, right? So okay. So come competition time, I was nervous and everything. And then when they called my name, I went in. And then actually, thinking about it, what happened was I made a really bad attempt to pass the guard, but I passed anyway, you know? And I feel like everyone is much stronger than me.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm like...
Yeah.
I don't know, like, they are so strong, but I managed to pass the guard, and then I managed to go on, like, side control,
mm-hmm.
but then I wanted to mount, but then the lady, she got me in half guard, you know, and then I wanted to attempt, like, the Americana, mm-hmm. but then she was so strong, and then we struggled there for a bit, and then, like, that was it, I won the match, but I didn't get to finish any submission.
Oh.
But yeah.
Wow.
That's the story of my first tournament jiu-jitsu. And my first win. Yeah.
Wow.
It's kind of exciting. Yeah.
This was what year? This was 20...
2000... Ooh, I don't know. 2016, 17.
Wow.
2017. Yeah. Yeah. It's not that long of a time ago, right?
So, so you started, your first tournament was 2016, you started at 2015,
Yeah, 2015, I trained like 1 year without doing any competitions.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, and then it took you like almost 5 years just to get the purple belt. What did that, that's kind of how do you say this? It's like, wow. Wow. I mean, that's a hard feat to do. I mean, that's like, it took you like almost just that quick to from point A to point B. I mean, that was fast.
So the other day, I think it was on Thursday, I shared like a story on my Instagram, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
3 years ago, I was still a white belt.
Really?
Yeah, three years ago. Yeah, yeah. So what happened was, I'm super competitive, you know? I have this, it's not like I have this beast. I don't know, like inside of me, I have this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
3 years ago, I at this time,
mm-hmm.
I was actually in Japan. I went for my first IBJJF competition.
This the Asian Open?
Yeah,
As a white belt. Wow.
And then I won my first match, but I lost my second match.
Wow.
And then at that time, I was so sad, you know, because you spent so much money to go to a country that is so far away.
Yeah.
And you think that you will come back with gold, but sometimes things don't go your way, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like train hard that it happens. Everyone trains hard. Everyone tries to get the gold, you know? But I think the most important thing is to learn the lessons.
Yeah.
Like when you win, I think winning is when you win, you of course you're so happy, you know, but you're winning and then you're like, yes, I'm awesome, that. But when you lose, you learn to observe those little details and like those little things that, okay, maybe sometimes you lose and then you're like, oh, I don't like this feeling. Why don't I like this feeling? And then what can I change from there? What can I take away from there? Is it food? Is it the way I train? Is it like the people I surround myself with? Things like that, you know? There's so many things. Like losing, sometimes, of course, I don't want to lose, but when I lose, I learn a lot of things. And when I was in Japan, I learned how to keep myself sad, but just for a moment, you know. I give myself a period of time to be sad, and then when I came back from Japan the next day, boom, I went training again.
Wow.
Yeah, so I didn't stop.
Wow.
I wanted to talk about my blue belt stuff.
You can share them.
I think, when did I get my blue belt? Let me check my Instagram.
Sure.
Because that's how I document my journey, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so then I went on to do more copas. And then my professor, he gave me my blue belt on the podium itself. I think I was wearing a no-gi outfit. And then he tied the belt the three of us, my other jiu-jitsu sisters, Aijin and also Fabiana.
Yeah.
So we went up to blue belt together, you know.
Wow. Actually, I mean, I think those are the awesome moments. I've never experienced that, well, in my case, but I've seen guys getting their belts on the podium. That's like the icing on the cake once you're in the podium and then you get to change belts on the podium.
I got it two times.
Wow.
Yeah, purple as well. Purple.
Wow.
Purple was amazing. Actually, I need to tell you the story when I get the moment I got my purple. So like when blue belt came, I just like competed all year. I think blue belt was like 1 year plus only I was in there. When I wanted to do my IBJJF Portugal purple belt, I had to write this letter confirming that I am not like a fake blue belt.
Yeah.
But you can tell because I think was it when I got my white belt, people were starting to complain, like, you're a sandbagger. Like, I'm like, no, don't like get angry at me, you know? People are getting angry. I'm like, people getting angry if I didn't do anything. I just, it's so crazy for me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what happened. Like, my journey is, even though it seems fast, but I really push myself.
Wow.
Really, I love the entire process.
Yeah, the belt system. The belt system really, I think, is very essential for the art because there are guys that stay on the belt for a certain period, but I think it's necessary because well, it's like, let's say you're in a higher belt, but some of the lower belt guys can still easily, roll you over and get submitted, right? So I feel that yes, it's very important that once you get graded, I mean, it really is that no one's gonna question that you're at that level. So
like when my professor gets the belt,
yeah,
you know it's a legit thing, you know, because my professor don't play around with this kind of thing.
Yep.
When he gives the belt, it means that you're representing him, his space.
Exactly. There, you know?
Yep. So he doesn't joke around when he gives the belt. Like if you don't deserve it, you're not gonna get it.
Exactly. Yeah. Another one I'd like to know from your tournaments so far, what was the best match for you?
The best match was my last blue belt match, actually. During my blue belt times, I don't remember, I think it was the first year of my blue belt, because I only had like a year and a half or something, right? So the first year of my blue belt match, this lady, she was, her name is Lucy Greenway,
mm-hmm.
and she's amazing. She's really nice, but mm-hmm. she's like taller than me by mm-hmm. like this much.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I'm pretty sure she was 80 kilos that time. And then I was at 58 or something, you know? Yeah. Let me dig up that picture. Maybe
okay. I don't know if it
reflects well.
It's okay.
It's crazy because she was like my biggest opponent.
I could imagine from the weight difference that's a lot.
Let me see. So this is a picture of me. That's her.
Like man.
I was at the bottom. Yeah. Wow. So what happened was first year she came.
Yep.
And I fought her, and what happened was I won,
mm-hmm.
and then, but it was like last minute, and I mm-hmm. got a belly down armbar on her.
Wow.
So I won, but she was really strong, and structure was really good and everything, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then, that was like some crazy fight I had, you know? And then there was this other lady from Indonesia. Her name was Jacqueline.
Yep.
I don't know if she went for the same fight, but mm-hmm. I think she did. I beat her also. They went for Copa, you know? Imagine these people, they come from another country and then they come to Malaysia and fight.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I love the opportunities that Copa de Malaysia gave to us. And then... I'm like forever grateful for Copa de Malaysia. So I fought both of these people and I won during the first year of my blue belt. And then the second year of my blue belt, we had another Copa. Like, of course, we have like three Copas in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second year of my blue belt, we had like one series of the Copa, and then they come back again, you know?
Wow.
They come back and they want to fight
again. Yeah,
and then we fought each other. With this, with Lucy, what happened was, it was Saturday, Sunday. So Saturday, I fought Lucy in Gi, and I won. And then my professor on the podium, he gave me my purple belt.
Wow.
Yeah, he gave me my purple belt.
Wow.
On the podium. And then the next day, I want to go for no-gi, right?
Mm-hmm.
And during no-gi, so they were busy cornering other people. So I went in and did my own I had to go and fight by myself, right? Yeah. So then I almost I injured my arm.
Oh my God.
I almost broke my arm because she was like, you see this position? I almost like broke my arm. And then,
wow.
It was, I think it was like, I don't remember. It was, I think it was either a round robin because you do like your division and then you have to do like absolutes. All right.
Yeah.
So I think, for my division, I won. And then for absolutes, I think there was, what do you call that? A round robin, because there were only three people.
Okay.
So I fought her, and then this was the like the first round of the round robin.
Mm-hmm.
I fought her and I won, but I almost broke my arm.
Wow.
And then I was like, after that, I came out, I was in pain, I was hugging my hand, and then my professor was like, you have to do this. Not like this, not like this. And then I was like, Yes, I will do. But in my mind, I'm like, oh, I'm so painful. But I love the focus. I love the energy that I gave, you know?
Yeah.
And then after that round robin, she won. So she got the chance to fight me again, you know?
Wow.
So then I went in and then I fought. And then eventually, like, I won. Like, I think they got this.
Wow, crazy. It's like it's from the mount, right?
I got a mount and everything.
Wow.
So it's insane. So with this fight, I really learned something. Even though like you got promoted, your purple belt,
the next day,
you're not always gonna get so lucky. You cannot forget that you are just. So you need to stay humble, you know.
Exactly.
Right? Today might be your day. Tomorrow might not be your day.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
this moment, I really love like what it taught me.
Mm-hmm.
And they took amazing pictures.
they look awesome. This sport really, honestly, it humbles you because, I mean, you're right. On certain days, you might be the hammer, and then on other days, you're gonna be the nail. You're the one who's gonna be at the bottom. Yeah. But that's why it's like this art is like. I just feel like if it's a jiu-jitsu practitioner, that you know where there's no ego on that person, and they're how do I say this? Their ego's in check, and they know that. What they're capable of, basically. And well, for me, it's like, for my experience, when I started out, it was like, I remember, because I started out when, mine's a little bit longer, because I started out almost 15 years ago. That was in 2005. 15 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you must be really good.
No, it's, well, mine is, as much as I'd like to compete, it was, it's because my priorities were work, and it was basically my career, and it's just work. But I wanted to compete as much as I can, but it was just the priorities. But I remember when before I started the sport, I was always angry. I'm not sure. It's like there's this somewhat of a little bit of aggression, but. Once I started doing the sport, it kind of puts your mindset in check, and it's somewhat like I said, it humbles you because you know that someone can kick your ass in the gym. I mean, how do I say this? There's always gonna be a bigger fish in the gym one day or another. So so that's why I love this sport so much, and plus the fact that you get to meet people. I started out here in Manila, but I mean, once you start meeting other practitioners from around the world, it's like you have this jiu-jitsu connection that's so deep. You can't explain it, but I think because if you're a jiu-jitsu practitioner, there's this, I don't know, there's this link that it's kind of hard to explain. There's this deep connection. So,
For me, when before jujitsu, yeah. I was kind of confused about like who I am, like who I wanted to be as a person. You know? Like if you talk about ego, I'm probably like pretty. I'm pretty humble, but sometimes I get like like really angry. You know. Like for me, I'm like that. You know, like if you don't train properly. Of course, people have their own goals and things like that. But if you wanna train, you gotta like really train. You know. And then how to say? Yes, people can kick your ass. Like, you know, that's why you have to be like constantly consistent. And and but you have to be how to say. I learn a lot, which is even though you're good, doesn't mean you can boast about being good, you know, like people don't care about those kind of things. They really just remember about how good you are to them. But also like I have this thing where even if you are a homemaker, if you like you don't do jujitsu as your main thing, at least when you come to the gym, I personally feel that I have a responsibility to take care of you and make sure that at least when you come here, you learn the technique of the day properly. If you're partnered up with me, you better learn it properly. So at least, you know, you go home feeling like great, you know, even though tomorrow, probably gonna forget about the technique. You know, if you remember tomorrow is like, oh, how does my leg work? It doesn't work no more. So for me, I always put this responsibility on myself, which is if you partner up with me on that day, if I show up that day to train with you, I'm gonna give my 100%. Not like smash you 100%. At that moment, at the 2 hours or 1 hour and a half moment, I'm yours. I will look at you when you train. I will look at your technique. I will correct everything that you do. I will make sure that we both of us come out with better knowledge, with better equipped, you know, that kind of thing. For me, it's like that. I always, this is my only goal. Like when I go in, I don't go in saying that I'm going to be the best in the room today. Yeah. It's not that.
Yeah.
My goal is to go in and learn together and be as close to hitting the technique as we can. That's my goal. All right.
Okay. Yeah. Can you run through me your training regimen now?
Okay. It's MCO. I'm before this, it's more together, right? What you eat and how you train and things like that. For me, I just go for my professors. Professor Bruninho, his classes. I try to hit all the classes.
Yep.
Like for the week. I don't know if I have my schedule. Like
wow.
The things that usually on Sundays, I start writing my schedule down, like what I need to hit and the classes that I want to go to.
Yeah.
Like this week, on Wednesday, we had a public holiday. So that whole day was a different kind of training. Usually it's like Sunday schedule. If it's a holiday, we do Sunday schedule on that day. But I try to hit as much training time as I can. But, you know, like I have my own business. I run my own skincare company. It's a small company, but I run it because of jujitsu as well. Because I really love jujitsu, so I form my own skincare company.
Wow.
It's organic and natural ingredients. And then it doesn't have any chemicals, no preservatives, things like that. And then I actually, for now, everything is handmade.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that. And then I also do my jujitsu. So they go together.
Okay.
Because I really need to, like, if you want to be good in competitions, I reckon you need to train a lot, right? So, and you need to have a peace of mind. Like, sometimes when you train with, when you work for other people, a lot of people, they're, like, really come on strong, especially the bosses. They want this, they want that. So you're confined to this 9-to-5 job. And as a result, you can't do, your time is not flexible enough to do jujitsu, right?
Yeah.
So I chose the hard way, which is to form my own company. And then I did that. I'm doing that. So far, it's okay, you know, like ups and downs. But at least I have this. And I really love how it's helping the community as well, organically moi, because my products are, they're really good for the skin.
Wow.
And I model it based on my ethos, like what I want for my community, like what I want for my future.
Mm-hmm.
Even with my products, the ingredients are the ingredients are organic, natural, non-preservative. Yep. But the bottle itself is glass so that people can recycle it. Mm-hmm. And we have plans with the bottles, which is like when people return them to me, I give them to these florists. I don't know, not florists, like these people who planters, right? Mm-hmm. So they're going to fill in the jars and the empty jars, used jars with plants.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to we resell them. And then the money that we get, part of the money that we get from selling the plants go to a specific charity.
Wow.
And that, so I just wanted to ensure like the cycle is complete, like rather than not knowing what happens with what I'm selling to people.
Yeah. So it's like you're trying to create this, the positivity that jiu-jitsu creates. It's the same thing that you're doing with the business that you're doing right now.
Yeah. Because it's like, you know, like suddenly we're hit with COVID this year. Can you imagine? People are starting to get aware with, how to say, like this, all these environmental issues, you know? Why are we having COVID? Maybe the world is mutating in a weird way. Is it because we're too much plastic? Is it because of this kind of consumption?
Mm-hmm.
Like all the weird things. So I think like when I started the business, it was a really good effort in my part. I feel so proud about that. Because when I started, I decided to use glass and I decided to use chemical free, that type of mindset. I feel quite okay with myself right now. Like, I feel like I'm at least I'm helping the world in a way.
Yeah.
And the business is a lot about, so my hashtag is repping the real. So repping the real means representing real people.
Yeah.
So I would love to think that my products help people who hustle every day.
Yeah.
Some people, they, not some people, a lot of people in this world, they want to go out and they want to hustle.
Yeah.
Like sometimes, like because of how we are and different kind of situation, our skin is not showing like the awesomeness that we feel inside.
Oh, it's because of the stress and everything.
Especially like if you do jujitsu, can you imagine the times that you scrape your face, like sweat, and then you scrape your face with the ghee, and then it's like you burn on your face. This is what I have like all the time, and I have like sore limbs, sore legs, and so we have foot soaks for that. I also created foot soaks, and then sometimes you have like body acne, things like that.
Yeah,
and you use the coffee body scrub that we have, and it helps. It really helps you prepare for the next day, and then we have like face serum kind of thing, you know. It's amazing.
Any chance you have products for staph infection, any of your products? You know what I mean, right?
Yes. Oh my god.
Well,
we don't have that yet.
Okay.
Come on, one, you know.
Yeah, because that's the well, especially if you know, if you're with your buddies and you know how it goes in the gym. So all right. Here's another question. What do you before a tournament? How do you prep? Well, how do you prepare for a tournament? Let's say.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, for tournaments, I usually try to enforce my belief on in myself. I think that's really important to have, like, before that, you need to have, like, mental power, right?
Yeah.
Mental confidence. So you have to make sure that, how do you make sure that you're confident enough to step on the mat without doubts? So the first thing I do is, of course, I take care of my food. Because I think food is energy, food is life. So what you choose to put in your body matters a lot. I try, I don't know, people have different diets. Sometimes I do pescatarian. Now that we don't have, I don't think we're going to have any competitions this year. So I'm eating meat and then I'm building like my body. With the meat, protein and things like that. And I eat a lot of veggies. It makes a difference if you eat like saucy food and if you eat just like Western salad, that kind of different, right? Like the calorie intake, and then it actually helps you. If you eat like rice in the morning, it definitely will make you more sluggish throughout, like when you go throughout your day. But if you eat like sweet potatoes, which is also a carb thing, I find that that makes you less sluggish, like throughout when you go along the day. So these kind of choices, they matter a lot for athletes. And then, of course, I try to get my training in. But going for competitions is always like, how what is a good training, you know? So, for example, maybe one day your school has, okay, so probably Monday your school has 3 jujitsu sessions, right? So you can go in, you do the warm-ups, and then you do the drills. And maybe the first session, you hit it hard. You go find, like, all the big guys to roll with, right? Like, okay, so maybe you have, like, 4 rolls. So you go for all the guys. And maybe even challenge yourself with 180-kilo dude, you know?
That's hard. That's hard.
But then also, come the second session, you need to also understand your limit. You can't just go in and fight another 4 sessions of 80-kilo dudes. So you mix and match. At the last session of your jiu-jitsu session, maybe you do, you fight with girls, like smaller girls, check your technique, things like that. Or maybe you fight with a guy who's really fast, who can jump a lot. You know, these kind of people, they have all their tricks. Somehow, you just can't half-guard them. They just slip through your heart. So you gotta fight all these different people. You gotta get to your body type, because you don't know who you're gonna fight in a competition, right? Like my weight, we have like stocky, short girls, but I'm tall and lanky, but also the same weight, you know. How are you going to deal with long legs? How are you going to deal with short legs? How are you going to deal with like stocky legs? Those are so different. The way they move their body is so different. So you got to get used to everything. Different types of body. So it's not just like training with 80 kilo dudes. Even like if you train with 80 kilo dudes, you can't experience a different type of body. So when you go for competitions, if you're not familiar with everything, then you won't feel confident, you know. Especially when you go into the warm-up mats and you see like, oh my god, these are different people, like they don't have the same body type. How am I gonna hook, like De La Riva, even like the way you hook a thick leg and the way you hook a thin leg is so different, probably, right? That kind of situation, you know.
You're doing the situational training for How about
specifics and stuff?
How about mental preparations that you do?
Mental preparation. This is a part of mental preparation as well. The food, the SNCs, and the training. I think those are all essential.
How about for, let's say, in terms of weight training, do you do like any, or it's just you train just through jiu-jitsu?
For weight training, I do SNCs like 2 times a week.
Yeah.
But my trainer, we have like our own program, and then I don't know, like a lot of people, they do a lot of like very, very heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm.
What did they say? If you can lift double of your body weight, then you're set.
Okay.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
But with my training specifically, we don't really do that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of speed, agility, and a lot of stability work, that kind of stuff. You know?
Yeah.
So, my trainer trains me differently, but I can see results. I'm sharper.
Sharper.
With her training. My trainer is from PFC. It's a training facility in KL.
Mm-hmm.
My trainer is like 21 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But she's so mature, and like her name is Christian, and we've been doing like really a lot of good work. It's been 2 years now, so it's perfect, you know.
Yeah. How about for recovery? What do you do?
Recovery. So I work with this place called PFC Studio.
Yeah.
They are a physiotherapy center. Elvin, my guy's name is Elvin.
Yeah.
So I go, if there's competition, I go like once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's no, maybe like times a week to get myself checked and ready. And then he will give like a lot of advice and things like that.
Yeah.
At recovery, drink a lot of water and eat your vitamin pills. You know?
That's wow. What's this? Let's see. Okay, so we got your from my list. You got your training regimen, how you prep for the tournament. Okay. This is non-jiu-jitsu related.
Okay.
I think it was the stuff I sent the other day about anything like any movie or a TV series, a Netflix movie, or anything that you're a big fan of.
Okay, I'm actually like really good with sitcoms.
Okay.
I really love watching series like The Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
Modern Family, How I Met Your Mother.
Okay.
Brooklyn 99 is really good as well, and like what do you call it? I don't know. I forgot. There's these two girls, the waiters. I don't know the name of the series, but
okay.
So yeah,
I think I know that. I know that series. It's like what's this? One of the girls there was in Thor, I think. Was that the TV series? The waitress.
Yes.
That one, right?
The scientist girl.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I like anime actually.
Oh, okay.
I watch a lot of anime. Yeah. Lately I've been rewatching The Pretender. Have you watched that one before?
Just to be honest, I'm somewhat of an old school anime fan. It's more of I was watching I'm not sure if you know it. It's they call it Macross.
Robot.
Yeah, the robots. There's also another one.
Uh-huh.
The old school Dragon Ball Z cartoons. I'm not sure if you know Dragon Ball.
I love Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
I watched the first one, and then I cried a lot. Like when it finished, I spent like a week crying. And then suddenly all the Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball whatever, you know, But it's just not as good as the first one.
You know? Yeah, the first one.
Oh my god.
So, yeah.
The animation that I watch is Pretender.
Great Pretender.
Pretender.
Okay. Can you share to me what's the series about? I might try to look into it.
Okay. The Great Pretender is so it looks like this. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, okay, I see it. Okay.
It's based on this guy. So he is from Japan. So he wanted to find like honest work in the beginning, but he got caught in a scheme where he cheats people, like buying a green tea.
Okay.
And, but he didn't know it was like his boss put him in the situation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like cheating, and he got caught. And then they went to prison together, like different prisons. And then when they came out, and then he was so pissed. He was like, okay, so the society, he tried to look for a job, but society wouldn't accept people who did those kind of things, you know, especially in Japan. So he said, okay, let's just, if the world, it's like, what do you, they call it a confidence man in this movie.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, he called himself confidence man.
Okay.
So he decided to just be it. Mm-hmm. You know, so he was like cheating people left and right. So then one day there was this guy who came from, I think, Los Angeles or something.
Yeah.
He saw one tourist and he decided to cheat this tourist, you know. Yeah. And then actually the tourist was cheating him.
Ooh.
And then the tourist bought him, he brought him to Los Angeles to do a business. So the tourist wanted to sell a new type of drug called Sakura Magic. Yeah, it's called Sakura Magic.
Okay.
But it was actually just candy. You know the tin?
Droplets of candy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to sell candy to this movie maker in Los Angeles, who is actually a drug lord in Los Angeles. But he told the drug lord that this Sakura Magic was actually made by a young Japanese scientist.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he tricked him to go to Los Angeles to become that scientist.
Mm.
Then the foreigner he told the Japanese guy, he said, if you can top my sales, if you can cheat a bigger amount than me, then I will work for you, you know.
Mm.
So then for some reason this guy did it, you know. He sold it for double or something. Not double, like triple or something, you know.
Okay. So it sounds very
Where the story began. And then after that they went on doing other like cheating jobs, which is so epic and so amazing. Yeah, you should really go watch it.
Okay, I'll after this session, I'll try to check it out in
Netflix.
I'll see the story, then I'll let you know I'll let you know how it turns out. Okay, here's another one. So right now, training is not, you're still training, but since with the pandemic and everything, what are the other things, plus your business as well, anything that's keeping you busy as well? Anything else that's keeping you busy as well? Anything else?
Right now I am, besides jujitsu and my business, my business is my main thing. I'm also teaching kids class jujitsu. Yeah, like I teach with my professor, like an assistant, you know.
It's different when it's kids, right? It's
different. They are not adults, and they are not thinking as well. They are different types of individuals, which require different type of care and honesty and like attention, you know. If you mess with them, they're not gonna grow up well. I'm focusing a lot of my attention with taking care of the kids and learning how to communicate with them, because I think this is really important, because some adults, they listen to you just to please you, you know,
yeah,
like they just wanna they pretend like they wanna understand you, but they don't really, you know. And it actually frustrates kids a lot when you don't properly put your attention on them. Like, they can also think, who do you think I am? You know,
do
you think because I'm small, I don't matter?
Yeah.
Like, so I'm trying my best to like read books.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I want to. Sorry.
Oh, okay. So it's how to talk so kids will listen and listen. Okay. When you're teaching kids, when you teach them a technique, do you put it in such a way that it's like a game? Is that how you teach the kids?
We are doing a little bit of that right now. So my professor, we're doing like games, and then we go for techniques, and then of course we have sparring part, but the games are really like how to say, they are purposeful games. You know, like the game where you touch the knees, and then you if you get touched, you small. That actually helps you with the posture and the changing the level, and then it actually helps you getting what do you call that, takedowns, you know. Some people take you down just like that because you are so high up. But so we're teaching the kids that you gotta guard your knee really well, and that's just one of the games that we play. And then, but technique wise I always want to make sure that the kids, they pay attention to all the details, because that's it, right? You gotta pay attention to details. That's what you just do, is right? You can't just like throw your body around and hope for the best. It doesn't happen.
Okay, I think we're somewhat going to my last question now. Since most of the tournaments for this year are somewhat suspended, you're prepping for next year, or is there, towards the end of the year, is there any tournaments that you're aiming for right now?
I was not informed of any tournaments this year, but if there is, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. And then next year, I'm hoping to start in January, maybe Portugal again. Let me see.
Wow.
It's crazy. In Malaysia, it's pretty good. We're taking care of the situation. But lately in Sabah, there is like one situation that blew up the rate of infection. But I think it's manageable. They're controlling it really well.
Yeah.
So let's see in a couple of months, right?
What's so awesome is I've seen some of the stuff you're putting in your Instagram, and it looks like from your place in Kuala Lumpur, it's good that you guys are training in the gym, because here in Manila, it's like everything's...
What's the situation
here? Right now, Manila's still in GCQ. We're still in quarantine. And most of the gyms are still, well, for the contact sports, they're mostly still closed right now. Even for jiu-jitsu, I mean, the last time I was able to train was just last March of this year. We're still waiting for word, hopefully in the next 2 weeks, if they can put the level a little bit down so that the jiu-jitsu gyms can already open. So that's the so we're hoping, because most of my friends right now, they're doing they're doing their jiu-jitsu
underground
jiu-jitsu. and it's hard if you can't post it online. I'm hoping things get better in the next few months.
It will.
Yeah. Then I'm hoping in the near future, if you have time as well, that if you'd still we'll do another session, another episode for the show, just to see how you guys are doing there, and how you are doing there in Malaysia, and for you as well.
You're always welcome.
just to see what's next for you, because I think I'm just seeing some of your posts in IG that I saw this one post that you're one of the Wonder Women of Malaysia. There's like, you have this.
Oh, yes, yes. I didn't know what happened. Just suddenly it popped out of nowhere. they gave me the title as one of the Wonder Women of Malaysia, you know? So I'm among all those really cool people, really cool women in Malaysia. Which is so awesome. I didn't think that they would put me there, but yeah, I'm so blessed.
Yeah, well, I hope and pray that everything goes up for you and your career trajectory in jiu-jitsu goes up, sky's the limit, and just thank you for giving your time for this podcast. So it's just a small project of mine since the start of the pandemic. Actually, I've been planning to do this for the last 2 years. It's just
now it gives you time, right?
Yeah. For some odd reason, the pandemic gave me time to set it up from scratch. And I like to hear the stories of a lot of people, mostly the stuff that I'm into, which is comic books, jiu-jitsu movies, it's actually a blessing that you gave me a little bit of your time to share about your story, because we weren't able to talk that much during the SEA Games. And your journey, I mean, wow. Just 5 years ago, and then boom! So it's like, wow! It's like, you mentioned that you were a law student, right? So,
yeah, wow. Yeah, I am. I was, yeah.
Are you planning to pursue it, or now you're?
No. I really love jiu-jitsu, and I think jiu-jitsu really helps people in a different way.
Yeah.
For me, yeah, and I would like to continue helping people this way.
So kind of jiu-jitsu found your path and somewhat found your path. Yeah. Wow, that's so awesome. All right. I guess that's what we have for now for tonight's show. To all our listeners there, again, I have Cassandra J. Poyong here as my guest of honor for the second episode of Pop Culture Grappler. So hopefully in the near future she'd be able to grace again on one of our future episodes, and I guess that's it for today's show. And thank you for Cassandra again. Thank you so much for giving your time.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for giving us your time, and to all our listeners, thank you as well.
That's it for today from Pop Culture Grappler.